Hello everyone, it's Mark Goodacre here. Welcome to the NT Pod, the podcast all about the New Testament and Christian origins. It's episode 111, and today I'm asking, did John know the Synoptic Gospels? Well, for centuries, the answer to this question was, I suppose, a definite yes. Of course, John knew the other Gospels. All he was doing is he was trying to do something a bit different. Clement talked about a more spiritual gospel in contrast to the Synoptics. Calvin thought that John was kind of the key to understanding the Synoptic Gospels. Or even more recently than that, Ramsay Michael said that the fourth gospel is about making explicit what's implicit in the Synoptics. So for much of Christian history, the answer to the question was a definite resounding yes, but things changed in the 20th century. And by the middle to late 20th century, people were beginning to say, I'm not so sure anymore. I think maybe John was actually, after all, independent of the Synoptics. And some of this is because of a massive scholar in the study of the New Testament and Christian origins, C.H. Dodd. And I should say, he's a brilliant scholar. I've learned so much from C.H. Dodd. In fact, there are some parts of the UK where they still say as their creed, I believe in Dodd. Dodd thought that John was independent of the Synoptic Gospels and that all four canonical Gospels were kind of drawing from a great mass of oral tradition. And this view became really, really popular. Some people even think it was a consensus. I don't think it ever reached a consensus, but it was certainly a kind of majority view in much of international scholarship. And it's really easy to see the appeal of it because, after all, John is just so different from the Synoptics. We've hardly begun the gospel before its differences just dazzle us. I mean, it looks like a complete reset. I mean, not even to the start of the New Testament, you know, with Mark's Isaianic prophecy or Matthew's Abrahamic genealogy or even Luke's temple epiphany, but to the very beginning of creation itself. So taking us right back to Genesis 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, is the beginning of John's gospel. You can't get much more different from the Synoptics. And even before you've got to the second chapter of John, you see radical differences from the Synoptics. So you get the cleansing of the temple already in chapter 2, when this story doesn't come right until the end of the Synoptic Gospels. And then there's just so much new material as well in John. Nicodemus, the Samaritan woman, the paralyzed man at the pool of Bethsaida. And they're just in the first few chapters of John's gospel. So those that see John as independent because John is just so different, there's a lot going for that view. On first viewing, it looks like John is just too different to have known the Synoptic Gospels. Jesus even sounds different in the fourth gospel. No longer do we get kingdom of God. Well, we get kingdom of God three times in chapter 3, but after that, we just get eternal life. So instead of the veiled hints and elusive parables that you get in the Synoptics, you get Jesus proudly saying, I am the bread of life, I am the good shepherd, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and so on. So how could a gospel that is just so different have known the other canonical gospels? Well, the difficulty, I think, is in the question itself. It's not differences that diagnose one author's knowledge of another's works, but similarities. Matthew and Luke are different from Mark, and Luke's different from Matthew, but we can see literary knowledge in between these Gospels. So the key question, I think, for me is not what are the differences, but what are the similarities between John and the Synoptics? And could they diagnose literary familiarity? Well, I've written a book. My book is called The Fourth Synoptic Gospel. A quick plug there. In this book published by Erdmans, I argue that striking literary similarities illustrate that John knows not synoptic like traditions, but the synoptic gospels themselves. And let me just sketch one or two of the things that draw me to that conclusion. There are several examples of close verbatim agreement between the synoptics and John, where it looks like the author of the fourth gospel knows not just the synoptics' traditions, not just oral traditions, but the synoptics themselves. I mean, one example is in John 13, you have, "Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me," which is like a 9-word verbatim string in the Greek. And this is identical to the same phrase in Matthew and Mark. It's slightly different in Luke. And it's not just that you see lots of verbatim agreement, it's that quite often the agreement shows signs of Matthew's redactional fingerprints, Luke's redactional fingerprints, or very distinctive things that you see from Mark's gospel. I mean, to take an example of that, from the same chapter, John 13, in John 13, 27, Satan enters into Judas Iscariot. Now, that's the way that Luke talks, and Luke says the same thing in his Last Supper story in Luke 22. Satan enters into Judas Iscariot. And the reason why it's striking is that Luke likes to call the devil Satan, but John generally calls him the devil. So little things like that suggest that John doesn't just know parallel traditions, but knows the synoptic gospels themselves as basically, you know, the same literary productions that roughly that we see today. I think the difficulty when you're mounting that kind of argument, though, is that these kind of agreements feel too minor. So you're making a case about a gospel knowing several gospels on the basis of these really minor similarities, these tiny little kind of verbatim strings. And I kind of understand that. I mean, I want to respond in part by saying, well, the devil is in the detail, and you really do need to look at those details, including what the devil is called in the detail. But it is a fair point that we need more than just the verbatim similarities. And I argue that you also see parallel structures between the synoptics and John. In fact, especially between Mark and John. Mark's literary structure is surprisingly similar to John's. All right, we have the cleansing of the temple at the beginning of John, but when you come to lots of other parallels, it occurs proportionally at very similar points in John's gospel, almost as if John has modelled his literary structure on Mark. So something like the anointing, which takes place in John 11, is at a very similar point in the narrative to the anointing that takes place in Mark 14. And you can make similar points with other aspects of John's particular narrative. You can also get to specific structuring of passages, which is remarkably similar. I just mentioned the anointing. The anointing in John 12. Did I just say John 11? I meant John 12. The anointing that you see in John 12, I suppose I could edit these kind of things out now that I'm doing this on video as well as audio, but I might just leave it in just to prove that I'm not reading from a script. So John 12, the story of the anointing, really similar to the story of the anointing in Mark 14 and Matthew 26. The way that the thing is structured, that passage, is really, really close, actually much closer than it is to Luke's anointing in Luke 7, 36 to 50. So you've got that fascinating contrast going on there. But there's something even more fundamental than questions of order and literary structure. It's also the basic literary theological conceit of the whole program that's similar between Mark and the other synoptics and John. Because Mark famously has this element of secrecy. People talk about the messianic secret in Mark's gospel. And then people say, oh, well, John doesn't have that kind of messianic secret. Well, actually, John does have Jesus as a hidden Messiah who only reveals himself to those that are closest to him. And even those who are closest to him, the disciples, they only fully understand who Jesus is after the resurrection. So it's the resurrection and thinking about the resurrection that retrospectively causes the disciples to realize who Jesus is. It's a fundamentally similar literary conceit. And it's already there from John 2. When the disciples are there at the cleansing of the temple, they don't fully understand what's going on, but the author notes that they will understand when the resurrection's come. That's basically what a gospel is. Who told John to write this kind of book? Our problem is that we're so familiar with the gospels of the New Testament that we think that's the only way to tell the story, but there are lots of other ways of telling the story. If you explore other non-canonical gospels, you'll find a multitude of different ways of telling the tale. In fact, the four canonical gospels are unusual in many respects compared to other gospels, and they stick to this same basic format. And I think John's got that format from Mark. He's inspired by Mark. These are parallel gospels, not just gospels with parallel traditions. There's some of the reasons why I'm actually convinced that John knew the synoptic gospels, and not just, he didn't just know them, but he presupposes them. I think he presupposes their narratives at certain points. He dramatically transforms them. He takes their Christology and develops it, transforms it, changes it, but still makes it the foundation of what he's doing. There's more of that in my book, The Fourth Synoptic Gospel, and I hope there'll be a bit more of it on the podcast here as well. Well, thanks so much for listening to the latest episode of the NT Pod. It's always a pleasure to have your company. You can find me on the web at podacre.blogspot.com, and this podcast is all around at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, and all the rest of it. But you can also find me now at YouTube, where the podcast even has pictures, and maybe I'll see you over there. Thanks again for listening. Bye-bye.